My subject? Great exceptions or great examples. If writer Michael J. Gleb is right, a mother can spot a genius. All she needs to do is to look into her baby's eyes, where 100 billion neurons will light up in his or her brain. Gleb wrote the books Discover Your Genius, with the subtitle How to Think Like History's 10 Most Revolutionary Minds, and also How to Think Like Leonardo da Vinci, who happens to be one of my favorite geniuses of all time. We commonly make the mistake of thinking that only the people the world has dubbed as geniuses are, and we are not. And consequently, we tend to make the acknowledged geniuses exceptions rather than examples. If we believe life to be spiritual and God to be omnipresent and omniscient, we will also have to concede that we too are geniuses because the mind we are using is individualized from the one source mind of the universe. You may say that your mind is not individual, but individualized of the one mind which is God. All people, believers and non-believers alike, tap into the one mind. And the degree to which one can tap into it is best expressed in Jesus' words, "Be it done unto you as you believe." This is like good and bad people tapping into the same power station to power up their homes. However, what makes them good or bad is what they choose to do with the power. Each is individualizing the one power. Further variations on the use of the power is the amount of power one chooses to use. A small home with a few appliances will use less power than a large home with complex appliances. The power station doesn't care how much power you use, but sends the power along the lines we see on the street. But how is it that the great current doesn't blow your appliances apart? This is because each home has a transformer, which steps down the incoming power and tailor it to your need or use. But what if you expand your home and need more power? Then the transformer would have to be changed to allow for more power to be available. Similarly, your faith is your transformer that allows more or less of the power of God's genius to flow into your life and causes you to be more fully expressed. Genius is evident when we use our God-given potential constructively to love and to heal, to create beauty and to solve problems of living. We're all capable of this if we're willing to commit to be our best, to be diligent, and to love the process and not just the product of genius. Like poet, mystic, and artist William Blake, we are to be aware that God loves to create through us. Blake's succinct summary statement for this is, "Eternity is in love with the productions of time." In process theology, developed from the work of English philosopher Alfred North Whitehead and his graduate student, the American philosopher Charles Hartshorne, we can conceptualize God as the universe evolving. This includes you and me. So, you are an outpost of evolution, going from where you are to where the universe has not gone before. This is a useful concept. Think of it as our giving God an opportunity to have experiences that God has not experienced before. Such opportunities resonate with Jesus's, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me." This is a statement of oneness, where God stands at the door of our awareness and knocks, which means God stimulates spiritual growth for us to open up to the depth dimension of our true genius, which is the mind of God and the one overarching mind of the universe. Genius is the extraordinary quality people have for transforming their lives. When the consciousness of our genius comes into awareness, it will transform the drab, boring, and ordinary street we walk on into its unseen beauty, either in actuality or in possibility. This is looking from the God-eye view, or as some people say it, from above, which means from the high consciousness of all possibilities. All of history walks lockstep in only one direction. Geniuses get us to turn around and look the other way, backward or sidewards, up or down, and into and through. Leonardo da Vinci noted how the so-called vanishing point toward which furrows in a plowed field appear to converge and seem to move with us as we walk beside the field. The genius not only alters our viewpoint, but also pulls our perspective into line with his or hers. It was Da Vinci who first discovered how to create depth or three dimensions in drawing on flat two-dimensional surfaces. We must trust the universe deeply if we are to break through to its inner treasure of genius, like many who have gone before us. Dr. Holmes said, "When we learn to trust the universe, we shall be happy, prosperous, and well. We must learn to come under the divine government and accept the fact that nature's table is ever filled. Never was there a cosmic famine. The finite alone has wrought and has suffered. The infinite lies stretched in smiling repose. God is always God. No matter what our emotional storm or what our objective situation may be, there is always a something hidden in the inner being that has been never violated. We may stumble, but always there is that eternal voice forever whispering within our ear, that thing which causes the eternal quest, that thing which forever sings and sings. The music of the spheres is our inner song of genius. You are born with the potential for genius. We all are. The mind within us is not our mind, but the individual use we are making of the one infinite mind. The extent that we can use this mind depends on our faith. Geniuses are not exceptions, but examples of our own boundless power. Mothers are apt to see genius in their children. In 1451, in the Italian seaport of Genoa, a new mother saw it in the eyes of her firstborn child. She was unaware that the scintillating power of the 100 billion neurons in his brain would one day redefine and shape the planet on which she lived. The baby's name was Christopher Columbus. Decades later, the wife of a prosperous Polish merchant saw in the eyes of her baby, though she could not dare to predict that his mind would reorder the world in which we live. The child was Nicholas Copernicus. He took us from the geocentric to the heliocentric universe. 3 centuries and an ocean away, a woman of land and privilege didn't know that in the eyes of her child would be drawn a synthesis of classical Renaissance and Enlightenment thinking that would cause him to reinvent the notion of personal freedom for centuries to come. The child was Thomas Jefferson. He became one of the framers of our Constitution, the Bill of Rights. What these geniuses had in common is that they found a way to work through their gifts, their strength. Emerson tells us that there is no great or small for the mind that maketh all. Genius that is spiritually grounded will be a blessing in every aspect of life, large and small. In what ways can your insights and gifts of genius make a difference in solving the problems of the world? Remember, the geniuses you admire are examples, not exceptions, of how you yourself can be. Walk well, my friend, until next time we meet to discuss A Tale of Two Consciousnesses as we continue to examine genius, what your best looks like in the enlightened life. Let us turn within right now, contemplating the marvelous ways in which the genius of God is within us now, and the ways in which we can bring this forth today to affect our lives in positive and wondrous ways. For we are knowing that it's done unto us as we believe, and we are coming into a deeper belief that the mind in me is the mind of God, the power within me is the power of God, and the wisdom within me is the wisdom of God. So let us know that we can bring this forth, bless it and let it be, and so it is.